I'm Roman Yossi of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Matt Duchene of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Eustace Arros of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Ryan Johansson of the Nashville Predators.
You're listening to the Renegades of Puck
with Crazy Charlie.
Welcome to the bunker. Welcome to the Renegades of Puck podcast. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonnier. And before we get started on the No Half Step in Hockey coverage, let me direct you to our home website, renegadesofpuck.com. Once you go to renegadesofpuck.com, you'll learn everything you need to know about the show. And once you're there, you can get good and educated. Then you can click on that merchandise tab that's going to take you straight to our classic logo t-shirt, our pride logo t-shirt, all of the different special event t-shirts. And don't worry, all the gimmicks you've come to know and love from the Renegades of Puck are still 100% available in our online store. Socks, throw pillows, wall art, bed sets, it doesn't make a difference. You can outfit your entire home or your entire body with Renegades of Puck merchandise, and we sure would appreciate if you would go ahead and do so. We've sold out so that you can buy in. Social media is of critical importance to this independent hockey operation, so please listen up and give us a little bit of support. It doesn't take you but a second, doesn't cost you a thing, but you can help us out in an incredible way by going to YouTube and giving us a subscription. That's where you can find Renegades of Puck TV. You can also find us on social media on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. You can find us in our behind-the-scenes live stream on Twitch. See how it goes behind the scenes. See what we do in the bunker when we're setting up, breaking down, and if there are any second takes or mistakes, you're going to find them right there on our Twitch stream first and our audio podcast. Our best month to date, January, just wrapping up. The most views, listens, and downloads we've had in podcast history is Renegade Pucks. Stick, tap, love, and respect to everyone at Full Press Coverage in the Full Press NHL Network. We sure to appreciate how much you've done to help us out. You can find the podcast on Stitcher, on Google, on Spotify, on Amazon, and so many other platforms. They do an incredible job of making sure that you can find the Renegades of Puck everywhere. Venmo is an easy way to become a sponsor of the show or just make a donation. Thanks to generous Renegades just like you sitting right there watching and listening, we've been able to upgrade our technology and our equipment significantly. Camera, light, microphone. We have made a huge, huge leap in what we have been able to do between last season and this season. And we have ambitions to continue growing and making those exponential gains as we continue. So please, if you can spare a dollar or more, it all goes directly to the Renegades Puck, directly to helping this independent and hockey operations. Scan the QR code that's currently on your screen. Just search Renegades of Puck when you go to Venmo. Now, I know it's time for me to deliver the No Half Step in Hockey coverage, so let's get to the goods. Time for operation number 710. That's right, show 710 for the Renegades of Puck. And at this moment in hockey history, the Nashville Predators currently find themselves in fifth place in the Central Division. 48 games skated is the least amount of games skated within the division. They hold a record of 24-18-6, 54 points. They have a home record of 14-7-3. They have a road record of 10-11-3. They've scored 137 goals in the season. They have given up 141 goals in the season. That is a goal differential of -4. Now, taking a look at the rest of the Central Division from the top down. Let's start with the Dallas Stars. They've skated in 51 games. They have a record of 28-13-10. Those 13 losses represent the least amount of regulation losses in the Central Division. 66 points has them 1 point clear of second place Winnipeg. But it is the Dallas Stars that also lead the division in goals for with 173 total scored and goals against. They've given up the least amount in the division at 133, giving them also the best goal differential at +40. In second place, you'll find the Winnipeg Jets, who have skated in the most games in the Central Division to this point at 52. They also have the most regulation wins in the division, 32. 65 points is second overall, has them 1 point behind the Dallas Stars. The Minnesota Wild are in third place. They have skated in 48 games, as well as the Colorado Avalanche and the Nashville Predators. So the three teams that are jumbled up right here have all skated in the least amount of games in the Central Division. The Minnesota Wild have 58 points. They are 4 points behind the Dallas Stars. The Colorado Avalanche at this point in the season, 48 games skated, 27 victories. They have 57 points on the season, and the Nashville Predators are sitting 3 points behind them in fifth place. Nashville Predators at 54, then St. Louis at 49, but the St. Louis Blues are not only 5 points behind the Nashville Predators in the standings, they've also skated in 3 more games than the Nashville Predators, competing 51 times already. already this year. The Arizona Coyotes sit in seventh place with 38 points overall, and the Chicago Blackhawks are in the basement with 34 points. They have also only scored 118 goals on the season. That is the least amount in the Central Division, but they have not given up the most. It's the St. Louis Blues that have given up the most goals within the Central Division at 185 on the year. But Chicago does have the worst goal differential overall at minus 58. Now, for the Nashville Predators, they currently sit 3 points behind fourth place Colorado, and they sit 4 points behind an automatic playoff qualifying spot of third in the Central, which is currently held by the Minnesota Wild. So for the Nashville Predators, let's take a look at where they currently sit on the season and what's left to go. 17 home games and 17 road games make up the rest of the schedule. In the month of February, the Nashville Predators will skate in 10 total games, not back on the ice until February the 7th after the All-Star break. That's when they will take on Las Vegas, and then they will have a couple of days before heading into Philadelphia on the 11th of February. The 13th of February will see the Preds back home against the Arizona Coyotes. The 16th, the Boston Bruins will be here in Nashville, and then Florida, Minnesota on the 18th and 19th, and that is the first back-to-back post All-Star break. The Nashville Predators will go on to the month of March, and this is where the schedule is going to be the most critical. It features the longest road trip remaining on the season, also the most games total. 16 games in total, 8 of 9 taking place on the road between February the 23rd and March the 12th. So that lengthy road trip will start on March the 2nd in Florida and then go to Chicago, Vancouver, Arizona, Los Angeles, and Anaheim before the Preds make it back home in the middle of March to face off against Detroit and Chicago, and then we'll have a back-to-back with Winnipeg Jets and the New York Rangers, a home and away back-to-back. So for the Nashville Predators, 10 games in February, 16 games in March, and they'll wrap up the regular season with 8 games in April. But in April, out of those 8 games, they will have 2 more back-to-backs, and the last 2 games of the season, which could be critically important, those also will be back-to-back on the 13th and the 14th of April, and they are both Central Division games versus Minnesota and versus Colorado, two teams the Nashville Predators are currently battling for that third and final playoff spot in the Central Division. So the breakdown is 10, 16, and 8 by month, February, March to April, 17 home, 17 on the road, 6 total back-to-backs. Noted a couple of notes on here. 3 games versus the Arizona Coyotes, 2 games versus the Chicago Blackhawks. So that's a total of 5 games within the Central Division against teams that are below the Nashville Predators in the standings. They also have 2 games versus Minnesota and 2 games versus Winnipeg, also within the Central Division. And again, competing with these teams, Winnipeg right now well clear of the Nashville Predators, but the Preds could gain some ground on them in the coming weeks. You'll also see 2 games versus Seattle, Pittsburgh, and Boston. Now, Seattle happens to be a first-place team. We'll review the Pacific Division standings here in just a couple of minutes, but Pittsburgh and, of course, Boston is the story of the entire season at this point. So that gets you set up for the Nashville Predators and what the schedule looks like moving forward. Now, let's talk about a couple of other things. In the wild card race for the Nashville Predators, where do they currently stand? Well, Edmonton holds the number one wild card spot at 60 points, Colorado with 57, Calgary tied with Colorado 57, and then there's the Nashville Predators at 54 points. St. Louis is the next team in line at 49. So for the Nashville Predators to get into the wildcard hunt, they will have to displace at least 2 teams, and that is absolutely possible moving forward, because I want to make notation of a couple of notes from last season. Last year at this exact time when the Predators were going into the All-Star break, they held a record of 28-14-4. That was 60 points. 6 more points than they have right now, but they finished 45-30-7 with 97 points. That was good for wild card 2, and of course they were swept by the Colorado Avalanche in the first round. Now, past post the All-Star break, a record of 17-16-3. So the Nashville Predators were actually under 500 post the All-Star break and still made it into the playoffs. Can the Nashville Predators make up that 6-point differential and beyond to displace at least 2 teams in the Western Conference playoff race? Yes, I do believe they can, and having five games total against Arizona and Chicago, and also having head-to-head matchups against the team ahead of you in the standings is something that will allow the Nashville Predators to compete for those final playoff spots. Now, critical importance right here when it comes to talking about not only the wild card, but potentially a playoff, is how the Nashville Predators are going to fare against and what they're going to be able to accomplish against certain division matchups. Now, the Central Division is, of course, of the most significance. Those were what we call four-point swing games. Against the Central this year, the Preds are 5-6-3. They have 12 games remaining on the season, and a lot of the damage has been done by the Dallas Stars. So for the Nashville Predators, they need to improve significantly what they've done against their own division moving forward. Against the Pacific Division, 9-3-2 on the season, and they have 10 games remaining against Pacific. But two of those games are against the first place Seattle Kraken, and also Vegas will be involved some more. The Metropolitan Division, the record against so far this season, 8-3, five games remaining against that division, and the Atlantic Division, a record of 2-6-1, seven games remaining against that division. So the Nashville Predators in those games have to find a way to get some points, but the Central Division and those 12 games remaining are your most critical, especially when it comes to teams below the Preds in the standings. They have an opportunity to gain some ground on the teams above them by playing competition that is less than them. I thought those numbers stood out, and I thought they were unique and interesting to the Nashville Predators for all their faults and flaws this season, all the underperforming this season, that they're only 6 points off the pace where they were last year. Now, right now, the number one seed would be a wild card matchup with the Dallas Stars if the Preds were to finish in the final position they were last year. And so far, the Dallas Stars have absolutely eviscerated the Nashville Predators on the ice. Now, for the Preds, where we stand at the All-Star break, getting away from the schedule, getting away from the records and all of that, here is where the team itself ranks in a whole bunch of different statistical metrics. And I expanded out to a couple of different fields than what we normally do on the day in and day out episode. Goals for on the season, Nashville Predators 26th in the NHL, 2.81 is their total. Goals against, 2.92 is 14th in the NHL. In shots for, 31.4 on net per game, 18th best in the NHL. Shots against, 34.5, that's 29th in the NHL. The power play, it's not been great all season long. 16.7% is not a good conversion rate. It's best for 27th out of 32 teams, 26 conversions out of 156 power play opportunities. The penalty kill rate, 80.5%. Not bad, right in the middle of the pack, 14th overall in the league. 33 power play goals against. I went beyond those fields and I sought out a couple of positive statistics for the Nashville Predators, because as you see, a lot of those are lower third of the league statistical metrics, and the Nashville Predators, I wanted to find some areas where they had been performing. Now, in the physical component of the game, the Nashville Predators have 1,406 hits on the season. That is fifth best overall in the NHL. In hits per 60 minutes, 28.92 hits per game, and that is best for second overall in the NHL. In blocked shots, the Nashville Predators have blocked 766 shots on the season. That is good for 10th best in the NHL. I was able to find three top 10 metrics for the Nashville Predators, and I wanted to make sure I brought those to your attention just so you can see a more complete picture. Now, beyond the schedule, beyond the standings, beyond the rankings, of course, the Nashville Predators, it's going to come down to who's able to be on the ice and who is out injured. Right now, and for the most part this season, the Nashville Predators have been a relatively healthy NHL club. Carrier is still going to be out for approximately another month coming out of the All-Star break. Mark Borowiecki, we do not know if he is going to return this season. He is still listed as just on injured reserve. But that is two defensemen for the Nashville Predators, and you've got to wonder, is this going to factor into the upcoming trade deadline? Will the Nashville Predators be out there shopping for some support on D and some support on offense? I've made the case right here that the Nashville Predators are well within striking distance without that many clubs in front of them with 34 games to go in the season. I do believe David Poile is going to make some minor moves to go ahead and bolster the defense corps and possibly bring in one or two more forwards to help round out the lineup. You've seen the lineup has been in constant flux this entire season. John Hines has barely been able to settle on a line combination for more than a handful of games before he starts tinkering with them again. So I have no doubt that there could be some change coming to the lineup, and the Carrier injury, more than anything, I think affects that on the defensive side of things. Now, for the Nashville Predators, there's also a couple of really bright spots I just wanted to mention before we move on and start talking about the analysis portion of things, and that's the Milwaukee Admirals. Milwaukee Admirals having a good season and a couple of good prospects doing really well. Everybody remember Cole Sherwood from the opening series of the season? Well, he's got 18 goals and 13 assists down in Milwaukee for 31 points. That's leading the team. Luke Evangelista, 8 goals and 22 assists for 30 points. Second on the team, Philip Tomasino, 12 goals and 17 assists for 29 points. Having a really, really nice year in Milwaukee. Schneider has 15 goals and 12 assists for 27 points. And Tommy Novak, still fifth on the Admirals in scoring, even though he's been with the Nashville Predators now for a couple of weeks. 11 goals and 15 assists for 26 points. Now, Askarov, 14-8-3 on the season, his first full season with the Milwaukee Admirals, a 901 save percentage, a 2.80 goals against average. And of course, we got to see him here at the parent club level with the Nashville Predators for just one game. And he was overworked and a little bit overwhelmed, but you can definitely see the raw talent that he has as he begins to get seasoned, get that experience over here on the North American ice, the North American game, and with the Nashville Predators.
Hockey
system,
players are as unique as the game itself, and your uniform should be tailored to
that
fit
gets you. Caught
Rebirth
up with
Sports
where the
is your sports apparel tailor. Shells, bags, warm-ups, hats, hoodies, branding, and more. And let Rebirth Sports be your custom hockey tailor.
And don't forget to tell them they do more than just hockey.
Rebirth Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Rebirth Sports, a match made in hockey.
So, let's get to it. An extra stick, taps, love, and respect to Doug and the entire crew at Rebirth Sports coming through and getting the Renegades of Puck ready and outfitted with their entire new uniforms for the first game in team history. We sure do appreciate you guys and how much effort you went through. The team looked incredible out there on the ice. There was absolutely no issue with how we looked. It's maybe just how we skated past and shot a little bit. Again, moving on. The Nashville Predators goaltenders, UC Saros on the season, started off the season absolutely awful. We were, again, starting to question another slow start. Did he need some conditioning, some time in the minor leagues? But then, just as we started to have that conversation, he turned his season around, as he has done in previous times. 37 games skated now in the year. 19-13-5 is his record. A 2.74 goals against average and a 920 save percentage. I think that UC Saros is going to be a Vezina finalist by the end of the year. We go into the All-Star break with him being number one in total saves made this season. He's broken the franchise record this season. He's put up one of the most significant single regular season performances in the history of all goaltending, and UC Saros just continues getting better and better, and now he has the backup that the Nashville Predators have needed to get behind him since Pekka announced he was going to be retiring. Kevin Lankinen has come in now, skated in 11 games. He has a record of 5-4-1, a goals against average of 2.64, and a 924 save percentage, and Lankinen has put up some very good performances. He's been put in there in some very difficult circumstances. He competes hard, and the team seems to play very well in front of him. Lankinen is the competent backup that the Nashville Predators were seeking last season, but never quite found. And in an emergency situation, we saw Askarov get called up for one game on the season. Of course, he's 0-1 in his only game. He made 31 saves in that game in his NHL debut, and what a spark that's going to be to see him and continue watching his development. Now listen, I'm talking about goaltenders, I'm talking about the Nashville Predators right here, so there's only one man that I know of to go to who is the expert. He is the starting goaltender of the Renegades of Puck. He is the one and only Mostradamus, a man so far ahead in the future. He's going to tell you everything you need to know about the Nashville Predators, their starting goaltending, their future goaltending, and the goaltending that comes beyond that. You can find him on Twitter at GreekGoalie35. Please welcome back to the show the one and only Greg Mishopoulos.
Thank you very much, Charlie. It is my pleasure and honor to be back with the Renegades of Puck for another session as we report on the Nashville Predators halfway through the season at the All-Star break, on the outside looking in to a playoff spot right now for the 2022-2023 season. Now, there's a whole lot of things we can talk about with the Nashville Predators. Their inconsistency offensively, their inconsistency on the ice. We've seen them go from streaking, winning 7 out of 9 games to losing 6-7 in a row and not getting hardly any points, and that's why they find themselves in the position they are in right now. However, the one consistent thing about the Nashville Predators is that their goaltending is bailing them out on a consistent basis throughout this season. This team thus far is a very average team with phenomenal goaltending through this season thus far. UC Saros and Kevin Lankinen are the only pair of goaltenders on the same team that have a 920 or higher save percentage. That tells you all you need to know right there. They are playing out of their minds, keeping this team in it when they can't score goals, but they can't do it all alone. And that's why the Preds find themselves on the outside looking in at this juncture. Goaltending like that covers up a lot of mistakes that the Nashville Predators make on defense and overall as a team. We've seen many odd man rushes go the other way. And again, UC Saros and Kevin Lankinen have been fantastic in net. Kevin Lankinen has well overperformed what the expectations were. He was a bad goaltender on a bad team the last couple seasons up in Chicago. He's kind of found himself again, showing what he can do in net with somebody like Ben Vanderklok, teaching him the ropes and getting him to where he can get to as a goaltender in the NHL. Now, we've seen just a little bit of taste of Yaroslav Askarov. Of course, the one game that he played, he did lose, but you can tell he is on the way to the NHL, probably as early as next season on a full-time basis. Kevin Lankinen, of course, only signed for this season, so the Nashville Predators have decisions to make as far as the future of their goaltending crease goes. So I know what's on everybody's minds right now is, how do you solve the Nashville Predators' problem right now? They're a middling team, hovering around a playoff spot, been below the line for a playoff spot the majority of this season, and still remain there at this point. So how do you fix the Nashville Predators? Do you go for a full rebuild? Do you try to get somebody at the trade deadline that can push them over the edge to squeak into the playoffs? You know, be those 2010 Minnesota Wild teams that just middled in mediocrity and made the playoffs just to get a couple home games, make a couple more $1 million for your owner, and be discarded in the first round. There's a very simple answer to that. The answer is no. You don't go out and purchase players at the trade deadline to try to squeak into the playoffs and have what happened to them last season once again. Yes, it probably won't be Colorado in the first round if they make the playoffs, but you saw what happened last year. They made their way into the playoffs only to get absolutely embarrassed in four games for the first time in franchise history. So what do you do from here on out? Well, as I already mentioned, this is an average team with great goaltending, keeping them in games when they really shouldn't be. UC Saros had Hart Trophy nominations just two seasons ago, was third in the Vezina voting last season, stole 14 points last season by himself with his stellar play in net. The Nashville Predators would not have been close to a playoff hunt had it not been for the play of UC Saros last season. And here he is again, trying to carry the team on his back to make the playoffs once again. Now, the way this roster is constructed, there's a lot of flaws on here, and you have to put the blame on David Poile. You have your top six paid forwards all between the ages of 28 and 32. There's not any major youth movement as far as the price tag of these guys goes. So you have guys that are at their peak or just past their prime on the roster, clogging up a lot of salary cap. The Nashville Predators, for as average as they are, they only have $2.5 million below the salary cap. So you have a lot of long-term contracts tied up, and you can't go out and get younger players, free agents that could make a difference in that top six or possibly a top pairing or a top four defenseman. So what do you do as the Nashville Predators? Well, you have to make trades, unfortunately. I'm not one to say you have to get rid of somebody like a UC Saros, but the bottom line is this, guys. The Nashville Predators are not going to go anywhere as a franchise if they don't make these tough decisions with the people they have on their roster right now. They don't have any significant free agents coming off the roster next season. You have restricted free agents, Dante Fabro, Alex Carrier, Tanner Jeannot, and of course, Cody Glass, who has seemed to find his way into the top six position right now at this juncture. Those are all restricted free agents. You don't have a whole lot of money to throw around if you're going to keep all four of them or any percentage of those guys. So my proposal is this, and it's not easy to say. UC Saros, at a $5 million cap hit, still a couple years left on his contract. You can never get more than what you can get from him right now as a trade bait scenario. UC Saros, any team that has the offense, has defense, has everything they need except for that number one goaltender. Look at teams like Edmonton. Are they really going to make a Stanley Cup playoff run with the goaltending that they have right now? Look at other teams as well. Toronto, are they going to keep going the way they're going? Goaltending always seems to be the question mark for Toronto as they proceed in the playoffs, trying to get past the first round. We know how much their fans expect out of that franchise. They need a top goaltender. UC Saros is the answer for that. You can make a killing getting assets back for a UC Saros. Another guy you could probably trade. I know I've seen a lot of rumors out there about Matthias Ekholm. I don't buy it. He just is just in his first year of his new contract extension. I don't see him, but I do see one of those restricted free agents, Dante Fabbro. Dante Fabbro has found himself in the bottom pairing right now, and as much hype as they had with Dante Fabbro coming into this lineup early on a few years ago, he has not performed, and he's been outplayed and is frankly surpassed very clearly by Alex Carrier. Alex Carrier is somebody you will keep, and you will sign him long-term. Dante Fabbro is a guy can be a top four defenseman on another franchise looking to make a deep playoff run. You can never have enough blue liners to make a Stanley Cup championship run, particularly out east where the competition is so insanely tough out there just to even get in the playoffs. You need blue liners all over the place out east. As I stated already, your six highest paid forwards are all between the ages of 28 and 32. One of those is Nino Niederreiter. He's the only one whose contract expires before the 2025 season. So all these guys are signed long-term at the back end of their careers for the most part. And obviously you have Philip Forsberg you just got, but you have Johansson, Duchesne, those type guys, Colton Sissons. Where are those guys going? Their production is probably going to start going dwindling down as we head into next season. So difficult decisions. Do you make some trades to get rid of that salary cap hit so that way you can sign your restricted free agents? Maybe you can go out and sign some younger unrestricted free agents that come on the market in the summertime. The draft is in Nashville. It'd be a perfect opportunity for David Poile to make a major splash with this roster if he's still the general manager. If he's not, what an ideal opportunity for whoever the general manager is on their home ice on draft day for the Nashville Predators to make a major acquisition on draft day as your first major acquisition and first major transaction as a new general manager of the Nashville Predators. That's where I see this franchise going. Draft day in the summertime, major changes on this roster. I don't see how they can get any better with their salary cap situation right now. Their goaltending, as I stated, has bailed them out time and time again throughout this season, throughout last season as well. This is where you start to look forward as a franchise. You trade UC Saros, you get a boatload back. You trade Dante Fabbro, you get a couple prospects back, possibly. You go into next season, maybe Kevin Lankinen is your backup. Yaroslav Askarov. You give that man the net starting next season for the Nashville Predators. He has far exceeded expectations. Usually takes a long time for young goaltenders to make their hay in the league. He has shown he is ready to go at the NHL level. Next season, Yaroslav Askarov, book it now. He will be your starting netminder for the Nashville Predators in the 2023-2024 season. UC Saros, he's been fantastic, but David Poile, you've made some interesting decisions in the past, Ellie Tolvanen. You need to trade UC Saros to get major assets back to rebuild this franchise. If you have any prayer of keeping your job, you've been in the league a long, long time, longer than I've been alive, and you've yet to win a Stanley Cup. There's a reason for that. You make some big trades, but you have bombed on many, many acquisitions and have set this franchise back, frankly, at least 5 years with the decisions you've made. David Poile, it's time to move on. Nashville, time to move on. It's a middling franchise right now in mediocrity, and that's not going to get anybody excited to overpay to watch this team play. It's just not going to happen. Nobody's interested in watching an average team. Make some splashes at the trade deadline. Make a major splash come draft day. Charlie, back to you.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm Tracy, owner-operator of Strong Style Fitness. And that's me and my training assistant, Rizzo. And we are here to bring you fitness that meets you where you are by offering circuit classes, bar-inspired classes, Tabata workouts, boot camps, guided stretching, and more, all taught by a certified personal trainer, me. To learn more, go to our website, strongstylefit.com. Subscribe on YouTube at Strong Style Fitness. Follow on social media at Strong Style Fit. But most importantly, let's get you moving. It doesn't matter if it's your first workout or you've been doing it for years. Strong Style Fitness has the workout that meets you on your journey and helps you along the path to a happier, healthier life. I understand where you've been, what you were going through, and where you were going, and I want to take you there. We'll see you on the mat. Mwah.
We sure do appreciate all of our partners here at the Renegades of Puck, and Strong Style Fit is one of the best partners. And one of the best analysts out there is the one and only Sean C. Smith. You can check out his work right here on Renegades of Puck TV. Listen to him on Renegades of Puck podcast. You can find him at A to Z Sports, a myriad of other Preds podcasts across the landscape. You can find him on Twitter at SCSNSH. Again, he is the one and only Sean C. Smith.
Thanks, Charlie. Hey, Renegades, it's Sean Smith. We don't have a Predators game to talk about right now, but we do have a few things to talk about as we sit in the middle of this All-Star break. While we haven't seen the Preds play, there's certainly a lot of things that we need to look at before they get ready to play again. And here's the biggest thing. Now, look, I'm not going to sit here and take credit for this because this wasn't anything I came up with. It wasn't research I did. But over at A to Z Sports, where I write with a guy, maybe you've heard of him, named Alex Doherty. I think Alex is a phenomenal Preds writer, and he came up with this information today. Now, he tweeted it. It's out there. It's public. If you want to follow Alex, that is at AlexDoherty1. That's Doherty spelled D-A-U-G-H-E-R-T-Y, and then the number one after that. You can follow him on Twitter. If you want to see this, check it out. Look it up. If you don't already follow him, you should follow him. He's got a good giveaway going on right now, too. But he's my site mate, and I think he puts out some good stuff. So I'm going to throw this out there a little bit. Here's what Alex said. I'm going to read it to you. This is good. So the Preds have 54 points at the All-Star break. By most predictions, they'll need at least 98 points total to make the playoffs. That's 44 points in their final 34 games. Now, he's given a few scenarios where this could happen. 22 wins, 12 losses. Straight up, that gets them the points they would need according to all of the models and predictions. 21 wins, 11 losses, 2 ties. Losses in overtime, I guess you could say. That's really what that is. Or you could even go 20 wins, 10 losses, 4 overtime losses, or 19 wins, 10 losses, 5 overtime losses would get them the required 44 points in their final 34 games. Now, here's the thing. He goes on to explain, and I'm trying to give you an update. Look, everyone else has been talking about the season so far. I want to talk about where we go from here. So this is kind of the thing. The good news is the Preds have been on a pace like that recently. He says here, look, the Preds, this is after their last game, are now 12-6-2 in their last 20 games. That's 26 points and 40 points possible. If you spread that out over a regular 82-season game, that would be 106 points on the season. So they're definitely playing the way they need to get the points they need in order to make the playoffs. And of those 12 wins that we just talked about, 7 were over teams with better current odds to make the playoffs. Edmonton, Carolina, Washington, Calgary, Los Angeles, Winnipeg, and New Jersey. Now here's the thing. If we go back to the beginning of the season, one of the biggest things that was kind of lobbied at the Predators and kind of thrown up at them was like, yes, you've won some games, but you're winning against teams that are cellar dwellers. They're teams that are not going to make the playoffs. They're trying to suck hard for Bedard. I don't know. They're just trying to get a high draft pick. That's what they want. Now, the problem was they weren't winning games against teams that were headed to the playoffs. I even put an article about this out on A to Z Sports not too long ago. Look, if the Predators want to make a statement and say that they're going to be a team that can make it to the playoffs, and then once they're there, do more than get booted in the first round, which has become the trend recently, they're going to have to put up some wins against teams that, quite frankly, they would see in the playoffs. Now, that was with the last three games for the All-Star break, and they did that. They won those three games. They made a big statement. So as it stands,
They're on pace, they're on track, they're winning at a rate or getting points at a rate that would allow them, if everything works out right, to get into the playoffs. Now, Alex points out too that the most crucial part of the schedule that's left is going to be the final 16 games of the season, because all but two games against teams with better playoff odds, again, as of today, with the only exception being the Buffalo Sabres, who recently beat the Preds, if you remember that, and of course they also have to play the St. Louis Blues, which was, of course, the loss that kind of pushed them into having that team meeting that seems to have turned things around. And this, the reason I bring this up is that should give you an idea of where the Preds need to go. They're going to have to win some games. They're going to have to win some games against teams that are better than them, some teams that are ahead of them in the standings and have better chances to make the playoffs, because a lot of those teams are teams that they're going to have to leap over if they want to get into the playoffs. Teams that by beating them prevent that team from getting 2 points and gives the Predators 2 points, which that's when you really see a big jump in the standings. If we go all the way back, way, way back to when I first started out, before Charlie ever had me on the radio show or ever had me on this, I used to do a little video segment called the Preds Game Plan ahead of every game. And what I did was talk about things to look for in the upcoming match. And I always had a little dry erase board that showed the standings. And I talked about, like, look, now if the Predators beat this team tonight, they're going to get 2 points. This team won't get any, so they move above. That's how Charlie found me. That's why we're where we are now. So I thought it would be nice to go back and do that a little bit, but Alex really kind of helped me out by doing some great research. So in the middle of the season, I know we're a little more than halfway through, but realistically speaking, we're at the All-Star break. In the middle of the All-Star break, that's where the Preds are. They're surging. According to all predictions, they're surging at the right time, and all the models say that if they continue to perform the way they've been performing over the last 20 games, they can earn the points they need to make it in the playoffs. The real question, Preds fans, as we've mentioned before, as we'll probably be mentioning again over and over and over, is can they do more than lose in the first round? If they can do that, I think they're making a statement. But if they make it to the playoffs again, scraping, scratching, fighting, biting, and clawing their way in, just to be unceremoniously kicked out after the first round, that should make for a very interesting offseason. Charlie, at the All-Star break, that's what I got for you. Renegades, good to see you. Hope everybody enjoys the break, and hope everybody's ready to get back to some Preds action when this break's over. Charlie, sending it back over to you.
The digital environment can be quite intimidating, time-consuming, and cumbersome, especially with all those other areas that need attention at your business. And that's why Stripe Digital Solutions is here to help. I know, because that's exactly what Stripe Digital Solutions did for me and the Renegades of Puck. From designing my home website and helping me create my merchandise to special event posters, brand building, and social media management. But it's not just that. It's so much more. Stripe Digital Solutions has helped me every step of the way. From startup to full-time operation, Stripe Digital Solutions has been there to assist and advise every single step of the journey. In today's fast-paced world, the path to success is having a strong digital partner, and nobody is better in the trenches than Brandy and Stripe Digital Solutions. Get the solution before it's even a problem with Stripe Digital Solutions. Thanks so much, Sean. Sure to appreciate everything you do for the Renegades of Puck, and I appreciate you jumping in the trenches and filing that report here at the All-Star break, taking a look at all things Nashville Predators. Also, jumping in the trenches, filing a report from out there in the field. It's the one and only Boyd Farish from Penalty Box Radio. Boyd's been out there collecting his thoughts. He's been getting it together, and he's got this presentation for you. And by the way, it's take two. He had to do an update because his breaking news ended up breaking. So here's Boyd with his brand new update that he's just filed.
What's going on, y'all? It's Boyd Farish from Penalty Box Radio and the Predator Way podcast. Excited to be back in the trenches for Renegades of Puck. And well, I had a whole video about Bo Horvat and the Predators, but the Islanders went and made that obsolete, so we're just going to roll with the punches and find a new take to ramble on. So, while the Nashville Predators are off for the All-Star break, it makes sense to look ahead a bit. And the Predators and the city of Nashville have the unique opportunity this summer to host both the NHL Awards as well as the NHL Draft, which Nashville has done before, but certainly that was well before Nashville became the hockey city that it is known to be today. And hosting the awards and especially hosting the draft are really a chance to showcase your city, showcase your fan base, and let the hockey world know just how special your environment can be. So let's look back at Montreal in 2022 and see a few lessons we can find. So Montreal historically has a great and dedicated fan base. Playing in the Bell Center is always an intimidating place to be, much like how Nashville views itself. But the Canadiens had a nightmare season following their improbable Stanley Cup final run. And in the midst of that season, they made the business decision to kind of strip down and get themselves in a better position for a draft pick. Now, don't get me wrong, luck absolutely played a role. It is a lottery after all, because number one isn't guaranteed, but just the process of getting there gave the fan base something to get behind. There seemed to be a plan. And anyone watching the draft broadcast could see a tremendous fan environment. They were buzzing in anticipation, waiting for that number one pick. And the fans in the building exploded when the Habs made the number one overall pick for Juraj Slafkovský. Now back to Nashville. Let's start here. Tanking for Connor Bedard is off the table. The Predators are too far in, too close to the playoffs. Other teams are far beyond them in tanking, so let's just let that one go. But the Predators do find themselves again in the squishy middle. They might make the playoffs. They might even go on a run. But if you're the Predators organization, can you bank on that with all eyes coming on Nashville in late June? You need to build excitement within the fan base, and you need the people to turn out for the events and show off just how great of a hockey city Nashville can be. So, like Montreal, a business decision has to be made. And really what that comes down to is the front office, and specifically General Manager David Poile, has to pick a direction and commit to it. I mean, really commit to it. If you're in on this season, you have to be all in. Go out and get a big name who's going to score a bunch of goals. Turns out, fans love to see that. If this isn't the year, make it known you're building for the future core of Philip Tomasino, Joachim Kemmel, Yaroslav Askarov, and beyond, with Roman Josi and Philip Forsberg as the mainstays. Now, you might not be able to rebuild all the way, but you can still show that there's a plan, and that will still build some excitement within the fan base about what could be coming in the years ahead. Very similar to what Montreal did, just in the case of Nashville, the number one pick is kind of off the table. The one thing you can't do is stand pat or just pick around the edges. Trading for a depth forward or a depth defenseman who, you know, plays 25 games down the stretch and the Predators lose in the first round, that doesn't generate any excitement. That doesn't get the fan base engaged with the entirety of the NHL world coming to Nashville this summer. The Nashville Predators need to pick a street and they need to commit to it. The success of how Nashville represents itself this summer really just might depend on it. So that's all for me. Charlie, back to you in the bunker.
Normally, I give you the top five scores individually for the Nashville Predators when we talk about statistics and the goaltending numbers. But for today's purposes, since we're at the All-Star break, I wanted to go ahead and give you the bigger picture and the bigger scope. So I've got the entire sheet here in front of me. Roman Josi leads the team in scoring after 48 games, played 12 goals, 29 assists, 41 points on the season. You can also add 6 power play goals, 12 power play assists to that impressive work by the captain. Both of those power play numbers lead the team. Philip Forsberg, after 48 games, skated 19 goals.
goals, 22 assists, 41 points on the season, 4 power play goals, 9 power play assists to add to that. Matt Duchesne's got 14 goals and 24 assists for 38 points. Mikhail Granlund's at 6 and 22 for 28. Ryan Johansson has 11 goals, 14 assists for 25 points. I feel that these numbers at this point are underperforming, except for a couple of cases. Nino Niederreiter at 13 goals and 10 assists for 23 points. The way Niederreiter started out on the season, you thought he might get to 30 goals. Now I'm wondering if he's going to make it to 20 the way he's going. Parsonen, 34 games skated, 5 goals, 16 assists, 21 points. After that, Sissons at 11 assists, and then Cody Glass, 11 assists, Matthias Ekholm, 12 assists. Tanner Janot has 10 assists, but only 1 goal on the season and 11 total points. Now, it's the rookies that I really wanted to point out that we go in beyond. We don't get to talk about their overall stats nearly enough. Juuso Parsonen, 34 games skated, 21 points on the season. He is some incredibly rare air here when it comes to the Nashville Predators. Craig Smith, Philip Forsberg, Alexander Radulov, and now Juuso Parsonen, the fastest rookies to get to 20-plus points in their career as Nashville Predators. That's a good list to be on, and I think Parsonen is going to far surpass what they all did as rookies. Parsonen, ever since getting called up, has been a dynamic player. While he may only be averaging 15.06 in time on ice for a long stretch of games there, he was able to maintain top-line first center minutes. So Parsonen has been a revelation, and I believe he is here to stay. He's also incredibly consistent with 21 points in 34 games. Cody Glass, slow start, but now that he's gotten going, 7 goals, 11 assists on the season for 18 points in 38 games skated. And again, Cody Glass, impressive, now playing first line center for this Nashville Predators team, and he has been chipping in more and more offensively as of late. Does a lot of little things right, and he's a fun player to watch. Only averaging 13.08 in total time on ice at this point in his career, but that is most certainly going to continue trending in an upward direction. And Tommy Novak, 19 games played for the Preds this year, 4 goals and 7 assists. We mentioned what he was doing down in Milwaukee. That's 11 points. His 11.18 in time on ice per game is always highly noticeable. When he's out there, he does a lot of little things right. He plays hard, and he gives you the effort that you hope to get when you put a player out there on the ice. Tommy Novak, I think, is an impressive player. I think he's got an opportunity to play a good long career in the NHL. Cole Smith has 11 points. Fabro is at 8. Carrier at 8. Jankowski 7. Luzon at 6. And then you start getting on down into the very, very low digits that most of these players aren't even on the roster at this point in the season. So that gets you caught up on the Nashville Predators as far as their statistics go. Penalty minutes leader on the season is Tanner Janot with 64. Only Luzon is close with 53, but I think all of those might be high sticking penalties. So that gets you caught up on the Nashville Predators where they are with statistics on the season. So that's standings, schedule, expectations, injuries, and now stats. We'll get you some more analysis coming up right here, and that's going to come from Brian Bastin. Because, of course, I'm talking about the numbers, and I need to kick it over to the guy who runs the Renegade Analytics. Says he's got the numbers you need to know. He's got the charts you need to see. He is the one and only Brian Bastin. Sure happy to have Brian in the trenches. Here's his report.
Thanks a lot, Charlie. I am here at the Renegade Analytics desk, and we're going to bring you a little bit of a midseason stats report. Now, I know that the captain has shared a few things with you and given you some numbers, which are all great stuff, but of course, you know my job here is to go beyond the numbers a little bit. And so let's check in on Nashville Predators about halfway, a little over halfway through the season as we are here at All-Star break, and let's see exactly what's going on with this team and how they're performing lately. So first, let's look at 5-on-5. We know what the situation is with the power play and the penalty kill. It's not great. We'll get back to something about the penalty kill here in a little bit, but let's focus on 5-on-5 because that is, of course, where the majority of the game is played. So let's look at what Nashville is doing. So we'll start first with just shots per game on a per 60-minute basis. Nashville is 13th in the NHL in shots for per 60, so that puts them in the upper half. Not great, but not bad either. Shots against, they are 28th in the NHL in shots against per 60 at 32.8. So they are giving up a lot more shot volume. And as Uzi Saros could tell you against Carolina, they're giving up a whole lot of shot volume. But let's take a look and see where exactly is Nashville at 5-on-5 when it comes to shot quality. So on offense, they're actually improving quite a bit. They're right now eighth in the NHL in expected goals for per 60. So they are creating a lot of high danger chances. And we've seen that in the last couple of weeks. Nashville has really focused on creating a ton of opportunities in the crease and in the slot. And we're seeing that. And the problem is, it's just they've not been able to convert those into goals so often. But we're starting to see that luck start to turn. Now let's look at expected goals against. And for those of you unfamiliar, it's kind of hard to evaluate defense and defensemen sometimes because there's not really a stat you can point to. You don't want to look at, you know, goals allowed, because obviously a goalie could be bad in front of a very good defender, and that shouldn't count against a defender. But what defenders usually can control, or at least have some control over, is the quality of shot that's taken by the opponent. Now, Nashville right now, they are 27th in the league in expected goals against per 60. That means they are giving up the sixth most expected goals against. So they're the sixth worst defense, basically, at preventing shot quality. So not only are they allowing a ton of shots against to put them, you know, solidly in the bottom quarter of the league, but they're near the very bottom of the NHL at all in shot quality as well. So you would think that, you know, again, pretty good offense with shot quality, very bad defense on shot quality. So how does that turn out in goals? Well, it's pretty much spot on even. Both goals for per 60 for Nashville at 5-on-5 and goals allowed sit at 2.45. So an offense that puts them at about 19th in the league, so a little bit below average. And for goals allowed, that's 12th. Now think about that. They are allowing 2.89 expected goals against at 5-on-5 every 60 minutes, but only allowing 2.45 goals against. That's a difference of almost half of a goal difference. And you can probably see where I'm going with this, but let's take one more look at a couple of numbers just to kind of drive the point home. Now, the Nashville shooting percentage at 5-on-5 is a 7.9%, which puts them at 21st in the league. However, their team save percentage at 5-on-5, third in the league at 93.2. So, of course, you know what that means. This is a team that is producing a lot of shot quality but can't finish their shots, so they're not scoring up to the potential. They're giving up a ton of shot quality and shot volume, which you usually don't want both of those at the same time, but are being saved pretty much single-handedly by the efforts of UC Saros. UC Saros, again, who is second in the NHL in both goals above replacement and goals saved above expected. That means he is facing higher quality shots against than any other goaltender, and he's saving more of them at a higher rate. UC Saros has been nothing short of incredible, and the fact that The Athletic didn't list him as one of the, you know, top three or four contenders for the Vezina at the midpoint of the season is absolutely crazy. Mark my words right now, UC Saros will be a Vezina Trophy finalist. If the Nashville Predators don't make the playoffs, he may not be able to win the award just because of how the NHL works, but count on it. UC Saros will be a Vezina finalist this season. So now that we've looked at it, and you want to look maybe overall, we've talked about how special teams have been bad. They've just been pretty awful. In fact, the fact that UC Saros is the second best goaltender in the entire league on the penalty kill, yet the penalty kill's defense has been so awful. Again, another testament to how great he's been. Overall, though, at all situations, shot quality, Nashville falls back all the way from 8th to 16%. So that's the average shot probability of, you know, the average shot that they take. So they're just middle of the NHL, and that's about what you would expect. You know, they're not too great, they're not too good, and that's basically where their record has hovered all season long. The shot quality they're giving up against, 27th, bottom five in the NHL, 29th in shooting, and 5th overall in saves. So again, there's a lot to be concerned about with Nashville, but there are a lot of things to look forward to going forward, coming out of All-Star break. Now, there's been a lot to be said about John Hines and him switching line combinations around, but the line combinations that they found here in the last 2 weeks have been extremely effective. And when I talk about being just extremely effective, they're incredibly effective. So if you look at forward lines at 5-on-5, who've had at least 60 minutes on ice together at 5-on-5, the Ryan Johansson line with Nino Niederreiter and Mikael Granlin is second in the NHL among all forward lines in shot quality per 60. Janot, Novak, and Trennan are seventh. And Forsberg, Glass, and Duchesne are 10th. So that's three of the four lines that we've seen roll out heading into All-Star break that are in the top 10 in shot quality. However, only the Forsberg line is in the top 50 for the actual goals scored. They are at 13th. So they are creating. Cody Glass has really provided a spark for Matt Duchesne and Philip Forsberg. And they are producing tons of quality shots. And unlike the other two lines, they're actually able to convert that. Now, we've talked a lot about how bad the defense has been just on paper. And anybody who's watching, I think, would agree that the eye test and the analytics pretty much match up. But Fabbro and Ekholm have been, in their, some of their limited time, they've been a pretty effective pair in as far as shot quality allowed, just 15th in the NHL, allowing the least amount of shot quality. But if we want to look at something that's been pretty a huge spark, I think, for the Nashville Predators is the combination of Roman Josi and Ryan McDonagh. They have a 2.6 positive goal differential per 60. So they are, when they are on the ice, the Nashville Predators are outscoring their opponents by almost 2.5 goals per 60 minutes. That's really incredible. So yes, while the defense may be giving up a lot, when Roman Josi is on the ice, he is being allowed to be a much more creative, more offensive player, with Ryan McDonagh kind of sitting back, playing excellent even strength defense, which he's done pretty much all season. And so there are some things, there are some bright spots. And of course, Juuse Saros has been fantastic. Although one stat that I think shouldn't be overlooked, and I know there's been some talk about it, is you look at how good Kevin Lankinen has been. Kevin Lankinen has been beyond all of our expectations. And one thing you could say is that maybe he got he got some of that experience playing in front of a bad team that doesn't play defense in Chicago, and so that's why he was able to step into Nashville and do the same thing. But he's been pretty fantastic. In fact, I believe last time I looked, his save percentage was, I believe, top five in the NHL just for save percentages in 11 games played. So Kevin Lankinen, they've been splitting the games about 65-45 or so, or 65-35, pardon me, which is a little concerning. You'd like to see Lankinen, especially with his performance so far, get a little bit more time. But I think winning games right now is the most important thing for the Predators, and so they're going to ride Juuse Saros. Let's just hope that it doesn't happen like it did last year. A couple of players that I do want to spotlight before we finish this up here. One of the team players that has been a very pleasant surprise, and obviously you look at the top of a lot of the metrics and you see Roman Josi and Philip Forsberg leading the team in metrics like goals above replacement, which is, again, puts them in the top 10% of the NHL. So these guys are having a good season. You know, Niederreiter, Matt Duchesne, again, not having the type of seasons they were having last year, but still performing pretty highly. But Cody Glass, of course, we're going to talk about Cody Glass. He has been pretty much sensational since him coming back after his little layoff in the middle of this season so far. Cody Glass currently sits at fifth in goals above replacement, just above five, about 5.5, 5.6, which is, again, fifth on the team, only behind Josi, Forsberg, Niederreiter, and Duchesne. So he has stepped up into that top-line center role and has done a fantastic job. And like we said just earlier, that line is not only producing shot quality, but they are converting and creating goals, too. So Cody Glass, hats off to him. He has done a ton of improving just within this season. And a lot of people that were in Vegas that were ready to give up on him as a prospect might be having some second thoughts. Now, unfortunately, we need to look at a player that it's a little bit odd. I'm going to say, honestly, from the eye test, this player has not been as bad as the analytics suggest. I think that there has been a role for him and that he has been helpful, especially in creating points and creating assists. But Mikael Granlund is by far, as far as goals above replacement, the worst player on the Nashville Predators, which is something that I would not have expected one bit before the season or afterwards. He's not producing. He doesn't have a positive impact at any part of his game so far this season, with the exception of he is slightly positive in takeaways. But it's unfortunate to see because, again, he is in that bottom 25 alongside Jeremy Lauzon. So it's hard to see that with Mikael Granlund, especially when you see Kevin Fiala balling out both in Minnesota last year and then now in Los Angeles. But I still am not ready to give up on that because he still does, from the eye test, he is a playmaker. He is a guy who is a facilitator, and he has those points. He is generating points. He's just not, you know, playing that 200-foot game. And honestly, you know, he may be the one that's underperforming on that line with Niederreiter and Johansson. So summing up this season so far, obviously there are a lot of problems. Without Juuse Saros, this team would be in lottery contention, probably bottom five, probably bottom seven in this league. They have hovered around 500 because they're unable to maintain momentum. They can win three games in a row, then lose two, then win one, then lose three in a row. They've hovered around 500 pretty much all season long. We're starting to see some encouraging things. That top line, like I said, Josie and McDonough have been extremely effective. We're seeing a lot of Juuso Parsonen kind of starting to emerge. Yakov Trenin, that line, that fourth line, has been pretty effective as of late. And so there are some bright spots and reasons for hope. But the problem about that is there's never been about potential for the Nashville Predators, not this season and not in past years either. It's about actually performing to potential. And the question is, because at this point, I think we can all pretty much agree that John Hines may be coaching for his job the rest of the season, and David Poile may be, you know, vying to try to keep his job as well throughout this season. And so they've better hope that the offense can catch up to what they're doing. They're starting to do some of the little things right, but let's see if they can keep up. And this year, a playoff berth may not be enough. They may need to win the first round in order to maintain what they've got and continue building, because otherwise I believe the clock is ticking and we're at the midway point in what could be the last season for Coach John Hines and GM David Poile. But there's lots to be seen. Nashville has been in worse spots before. So let's hope that things turn around. Let's hope this season turns into something that is a magical run like we saw a few years back in the Cup run. And until then, until these games get started, I'm Brian Bastin at the Renegades Analytics Desk, and back to you, Charlie.
I'm Crazy Charlie Sonia, captain of the Renegades of Puck. I'm also tired of the cold, tired of the dark, and tired of being landlocked. I'm also willing to bet that I'm not the only one who could use some sun, fun, and time in paradise with friends. That's exactly why I called our great friend Pete Weber. He told me, call Ships and Trips Travel, and now we're all going to Mexico. That's right, Renegades of Puck, July 15th to the 20th of 2023. Dreams Vallarta Resort in Puerto Vallarta is the destination to hang with Pete Weber in paradise. To join Pete and the Renegades of Puck in Puerto Vallarta, go to www.shipsandtripstravel.com. That's shipsandtripstravel.com, and just click on the ROP on vacation tab. Don't stay landlocked. Join the Renegades of Puck in paradise, July 15th to the 20th, 2023, in Puerto Vallarta. Pete Weber, the Renegades of Puck, and you. It's time to ditch those skates for flip-flops and fun in the sun. And I just wanted to take a moment to go around the rest of the NHL here at the All-Star break. Just a couple of things I've highlighted and I'd like to mention to you. Wish we had more time to cover the rest of the league throughout each and every episode, but it becomes quite cumbersome, so we have to narrow our scope and our focus to just one NHL team at a time. The Boston Bruins are the best team in the NHL this season. They have 38 wins overall in 50 games played. They only have 7 losses. The 38 wins represents the most regulation wins. The 7 losses represents the least amount of regulation losses by any team in the NHL. 81 points is also best overall. Their home record is best in the NHL at 22-1-3. Their goals for 187. Their goals against 189. Both first and best in category. The goal differential of plus 78, also the best overall in the NHL. Toronto Maple Leafs are in second place behind the Boston Bruins at 70 points, then Tampa Bay at 65. That's your automatic qualifying teams from the Atlantic Division. After that, it goes Buffalo, Florida, Detroit, Ottawa, and Montreal, bringing up the basement of the Atlantic Division. Kicking over to the Metropolitan Division, those Carolina Hurricanes are in first place. They've skated in 49 games this play. They have 72 points on the season. They are 4 points clear of the New Jersey Devils and 10 points clear of the third place New York Rangers. Those would be your automatic qualifying teams from the Metropolitan Division at this time. The Washington Capitals are in fourth place, 58 points, 4 points behind New York, then Pittsburgh, New York Islanders, the Philadelphia Flyers, and the Columbus Blue Jackets. And the Columbus Blue Jackets will remain exactly where they are until someone ends the season. And when it comes to the Western Conference, it's the Dallas Stars in first place in Central Division. We've already talked about the Central quite a bit, so I'll move quickly on this one. 51 games played, 66 points on the season. That would have them the
third ranked division leader. The Pacific division leading Seattle Kraken would be rated fourth. So Boston, Carolina, Dallas, Seattle would be the top four seeds right now from each division, and that would be the rank they would finish in. So for the Dallas Stars, of course, Winnipeg is just behind them, 1 point behind them. Minnesota, Colorado, Nashville, St. Louis, Arizona, and Chicago. In the Pacific division, Seattle Kraken have overtaken the Vegas Golden Knights recently for first place. 49 games skated, 63 points on the season. Knights are 1 point behind at 62. Los Angeles Kings are also 1 point behind at 62. And then there's Edmonton at 60. Highly competitive Pacific division. Doesn't look like anyone's going to wrest control of that until we hit the final minutes of the season. Just a couple of other numbers that pop out and stick out. 48 games played is the least amount by any team, and the Nashville Predators happen to be tied in that category with several other teams, mostly and importantly the Minnesota Wild and the Colorado Avalanche, which are right next to the Nashville Predators and above them in the standings. The most amount of games played is 52. The Florida Panthers, the Washington Capitals, the Jets, and the Kings. One team in each division has played 52 games on the season. Mentioned number one overall in wins, Boston, 38. The least amount of wins in the NHL is the Columbus Blue Jackets, 15, but the Chicago Blackhawks also have 15. That's in regulation. The most amount of losses in regulation is the Columbus Blue Jackets, and they are just running away with this category, 32 on the season. Matter of fact, they only have 33 points in total, and it has to do mostly with their road record, which is truly one of the worst things I've ever seen. At 4-17-2 on home ice, it is truly abysmal. Chicago Blackhawks at 6-13-2 are the only team that comes anywhere near that. So just a couple of things I wanted to point out. And coming out of the All-Star break, the hottest team in the NHL is the New Jersey Devils at 8-1-1. Tampa Bay Lightning were also 8-2 going into the All-Star break. And a couple of other teams are starting to surge, and we're going to get to that point in time now. Who is going to give up on thinking they're a contender? Who's going to start looking to sell? Who's going to move in that direction? There are going to be a couple of teams here that are barely hanging on the fringes right now that decide the best course of action is to jump out of that. I don't believe the Nashville Predators are that team. David Poile does not have a history of doing that. David Poile has a history of going out and getting a Jan Halavich or a Mike Sillinger or, heavens no, a Brendan Witt to try and bolster the roster right before playoff deadline to try to get the team over the hump into the playoffs and hopefully to win a game or two when it comes to the playoffs. That's not what happened last year, but I do expect the Nashville Predators to be in striking distance. I do expect David Poile to make some minor adjustments to this roster, and the Nashville Predators will easily make a run at one of the wild card spots, currently sitting only 3 points behind the Colorado Avalanche, and they have head-to-head matchups with them. So that takes a look at some of the numbers around the NHL, get you caught up on some of the other divisions, and again, would love to get outside the local bubble and talk about these other teams a little bit more, but narrow down focus, and that's what we got to do here in the bunker, and that's what we do a lot. But when we have the opportunity, we love to take the time. Want to talk to you about the Spartans. Got a chance to get back in the perch. Got a chance to talk Nashville Spartans hockey. Got a chance to call 4 games against the Charlotte Rush. Coming into the weekend, the Charlotte Rush, the best team in the Premier Division of the Southeast of the USPHL. Only 4 regulation losses on the entire season. So that means they had 31 victories coming into this game. Already clinched their playoff spot, and they're going to be one of the more difficult outs in the entire USPHL come the postseason. Season with the Nashville Spartans trying to gain ground and trying to secure their own playoff future. Had an opportunity to get out to the rink and call a couple of games. Saturday, it was a tough day at the rink as both divisions, Elite and Premier, were blown out by the Charlotte Rush. But I was told by the captain of the Nashville Spartans, AJ Bennett, that he was going to elevate and escalate not only his own game, but his team's game coming on Sunday. And on Sunday, for just a brief moment, it looked like the Nashville Spartans were going to knock off the number one overall team in their division and one of the toughest teams in all of the USPHL. Let me take you to the perch. Let me take you to Hockey TV. Let me take you to Spartans hockey action.
Hendrick dumps the puck down, goes to the bench for fresh legs. Schoner out here on the PK with Parker and Bennett. Though shorthanded, those particular 3 are a threat if they're able to turn the puck over and get moving north and south in an offensive direction. Collision along the wall. A.J. Bennett dislodged from the puck, but he's still able to get the puck down out of the zone. 25 seconds to go on the penalty kill for the Spartans. Parker in as PK1, forcing the play to the wall. Drop pass back to reset. Heese goes off to the bench for some fresh legs and allows his teammates to continue on with the rush. Perez plays the puck over. He was waiting for a return pass. Schoner picks it off. Partial breakaway for Nico Schoner. And Nico Schoner scores while being significantly harassed from behind. When I talk about a world-class lethal offensive threat, that's what it looks like. Now, go shout. Captain A.J. Bennett surveys, sends the puck over to Nico Schoner. Always a good option. Schoner builds the wall and scores. A.J. Bennett sets the play up from the neutral zone. Schoner does the rest of the work. I believe, before you shout, they like to call that a sick wrister. Banks couldn't keep the puck in for Charlotte. Now Banks takes a big hit from Parker. Nico Schoner in, and Schoner's got the hat trick. Goal number 46 on the season, Nico Schoner, a one-man offensive machine. 4-3 now in favor of Charlotte. It's Charlotte 4, Nico Schoner 3. Gonzalez takes the hit to maintain possession of the puck, fires it across. Spartans are down, and that's going to be a good goal. Charlotte's the best team in the Southeast Division. And they have come in here and made a statement this weekend, piling up the offense. It's on par, and it's based on what they do throughout the season. But this Charlotte team is going to be a very, very difficult out when it comes to the playoffs and the postseason. And it's going to be very difficult for anyone to go ahead and beat this team. With the goaltending that they have, very, very good club. Hendrick plays the puck with 30 seconds left in the game. Charlotte intercepts that play. They were looking for an extra goal. They're looking for their eighth goal at the end of the game. For the Spartans, Nico Schoner is going to go in 1-on-4. He's going to have the puck taken away from him. Now down to 10 seconds to go in the game. A.J. Bennett's got the puck all the way back behind his own net. And while no Spartan will ever give up, the captain knows it's time to capitulate. It's time to take his players back to the locker room, and he holds until the final buzzer. In a game that was 4-4 here in the third period, Charlotte shows their experience and their explosiveness. Three goals in the third period separate for the victory. We'll line up for the handshake. Charlotte takes the sweep over the weekend, both divisions, both games. The number of goals they have piled up is something no one will soon forget here at the Gary Force Acura Ice Arena. Tough weekend for the Spartans, but a great crowd, and we sure do appreciate everybody coming on out.
What an incredible blast it is to be a small part of the Nashville Spartans family. I sure do appreciate each and every one on the staff over there, everyone on the crew, everyone in management, and everyone who works on the game day presentation. Just an awesome, awesome thing to be a part of, building something amazing from the ground up and being a part of it. That was my 26th USPHL game on the headset, and I look forward to getting back in the perch here in a couple of weeks and finishing out the season. I hate that it's already the end of my first season, and I hope it's only my first season of many calling games in the USPHL and beyond, because I love it. I found another part of this business, another part of what I do here on a microphone that I truly love, and finally getting a chance to call some games. It really reminds me of one of the things I got started in this business to do in the first place, and calling games is one of the things I really want to do, and now I get to do that, and I get to weave tales and talk hockey and just stand up there with my headset on and talk about the game that I love so much for just hours and hours and hours at a time. They have two games a day. They can have six games a day. I'm going to call every one of them, and I'm never going to lose my voice. Believe me, I can keep going. Let's close this thing up by saying this. Renegades of Puck made their debut this weekend, and while it didn't end up going the way we had hoped it would, what an honor of a lifetime for me to lead my squad into battle for the first time. We're going to work on a whole bunch of things. The best is yet to come. The most important thing, we got in the room. We got to know each other a little bit, and I can tell already the Renegades of Puck is one hell of a good group of people, and that's what I wanted first. I wanted people over results. I wanted a good locker room and a healthy culture on my bench and among my team over scoring a couple of stupid goals for no reason. reason in a game late when it's already a blowout. There's no reason for things like that. I'm building a team with a good culture, and they put everything on display the other night. All of my philosophies and core values were tested to the extreme in our first ever game, in my first ever game in leading the Renegades of Puck on the ice. We persevered. We'll bounce back. Things are going to get better from there. And you know who was one of the first ones to jump on and hype us back up and help us out? He's also returning to the show, and I'm so happy to have him here that I'm going to let him close things out today. He is, of course, the one and only, the Ultimate Predator. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saunier. I'm going to get out. I'm going to let the Ultimate Predator do his thing. Renegades of Puck, sure to appreciate everything you've done to help us out before the All-Star break. I know it's going to be a hell of a run after the All-Star break and through the postseason. We appreciate each and every one of you. Please keep sending those links around. Please keep helping us out on social media. And most importantly, keep being you. Stick taps, love, respect.
Here's the insane fan, go ahead, make fun of me, I don't give a damn take. I agree with a lot of people that this team seems to lack something, a vision, a mission statement, a common goal. I'm not sure what it is, but they are missing something. Coaching, GM, certain players, whatever you want to list it as, you're right. This team is missing something. And I know it's only a small sample size at this point, but after that players' meeting, something's changed. Now, I don't know what that is either. Nobody does. But something's changed. There's a fire. There's a sense of urgency. There's something different about this team. Whether it's the coaching, which I don't think it is, or whether it's the players, which I think it is. I think the players found something in that meeting. They found that missing something. And they found it. They united. The players came together and said, we need that X factor. You're seeing it from the veteran leadership now. You're seeing it from the young guys who are getting in there, earning their spot. 2 goals in 2 games. Come on. It's changing. Will it win us a cup? No. Does there need to be some wholesale change on this team? Yes. There does. And I'm the guy that's the Preds apologist here. I've been fighting for Hines, trying to get some respect for the man, but y'all have won me over. It might be time for him to go. In fact, I've got this crazy conspiracy theory in my head right now that I'm going to go ahead and share. And y'all can ridicule me for it all you want. I think Hines has lost the team. And I think the players, Yossi, Forsberg, Duchesne, they're just playing for themselves. They're just going on the ice, and they're out there, and they're flashing back to when they were kids. And they're just out there having fun. They're playing loose. They're playing backyard hockey. They're playing beer league hockey. And they're just having fun. And that's what I think the team needs. Quit being so serious about everything. Have a little fun. Loosen up. Come up with some creative plays. Get a deflection off a skate. Get a deflection off a stick. Try some new stuff. Why not? Why not? Seems to be working. Dan probably won't win us a cup. But it seems to be working. And as long as the Preds are winning, hey, I'm happy. Most people are happy. Some people think Tank for Bedard is going to be the new slogan. But hey, it's Preds hockey, baby. You win, you lose, you get up, and you take the shot again. Have some fun. It's hockey.